with a stepladder of rough staves leaning against it. I whisper, "A cross! May I have a cross?" And then louder, "A cross! I must have a cross!" And some man, a stranger, an enemy, an Englishman, one of those whom we call goddams for their unending blaspheming, holds out a crucifix of whittled wood, roughly made, and I snatch it without pride from his dirty hand. I clutch it as they push me towards the woodpile and thrust me up the ladder, my feet scraping on the rough rungs as I climb up higher than my own height, until I reach the unsteady platform hammered into the top of the bonfire, and they turn me, roughly, and tie my hands around the stake at my back. It all goes so slowly then that I could almost think that time itself has frozen, and the angels are coming down for me. Stranger things have happened. Did not the angels come for me when I was herding sheep? Did they not call me by name? Did I not lead an army to the relief of Orléans? Did I not crown the Dauphin and drive out the English? Just me, a girl from Domremy, advised by angels. They light the kindling all around the bottom, and the smoke eddies and billows in the breeze. Then the fire takes hold and a hot cloud shrouds me and makes me cough, blinking, my eyes streaming. Already it is scalding my bare feet. I step from one foot to the other, foolishly, as if I hope to spare myself discomfort, and I peer through the smoke in case someone is running with buckets of water to say that the king whom I crowned has forbidden this, or the English, who bought me from a soldier, now acknowledge that I am not theirs to kill, or that my church knows that I am a good girl, a good woman, innocent of anything but serving God with a passionate purpose. There is no savior among the jostling crowd. The noise swells to a deafening shriek, a mixture of shouted blessings and curses, prayers and obscenities. I look upwards, to the blue sky, for my angels descending, and a log shifts in the pyre below me, and my stake rocks, and the first sparks fly up and scorch my jacket. I see them land and glow like fireflies on my sleeve, and I feel a dry scratching in my throat, and I cough from the smoke and whisper, like a little girl, "Dear God, save me, your daughter. Dear God, put down your hand for me. Dear God, save me, your maid." There is a crash of noise and a blow to my head, and I'm sitting, bewildered, on the floorboards of my bedroom, my hand to my bruised ear, looking around me like a fool and seeing nothing. My lady companion opens my door and, seeing me dazed, my prayer stool tipped over, says irritably, "Lady Margaret, go to bed. It is long past your bedtime. Our lady does not value the prayers of disobedient girls. There is no merit in exaggeration. Your mother wants you up early in the morning. You can't stay up all night praying. It is folly." She slams the door shut, and I hear her telling the maids that one of them must go in now and put me to bed and sleep beside me to make sure I don't rise up at midnight for another session of prayer. They don't like me to follow the hours of the church. They stand between me and a life of holiness because they say I'm too young and need my sleep. They dare to suggest that I'm showing off, playing at piety, when I know that God has called me, and it is my duty, my higher duty, to obey him. But even if I were to pray all night, I wouldn't be able to recapture the vision that was so bright just a moment ago. It is gone. For a moment, for a sacred moment, I was there. I was the maid of Orléans, the holy Joan of France. I understood what a girl could do, what a woman could be. Then they drag me back to earth and scold me as if I were an ordinary girl and spoil everything. "Our Lady Mary, guide me. Angels, come back to me," I whisper, trying to return to the square, to the watching crowds, to the thrilling moment. But it is all gone. I have to haul myself up the bedpost to stand. I'm